till all can see Christ only always living in me. And that's a little bit about what I'm going to be talking about today. Anybody here ever drive by that homeless person on the street corner with the sign that says, homeless, need help? What about that vagrant that's begging at the doorway at the grocery store? Did you ever wonder what they did to get there? Or perhaps you thought maybe they just really don't need the money at all. Anybody here ever make a judgment on someone based on the way that they looked or where they lived or the color of their skin or their religion or their language? Anybody here ever had to drive through the bad part of town with your doors locked and your windows rolled up and your eyes wide shut, just breathing barely until you get out of town? Anybody here ever thought that they would go visit someone who was homebound or in the hospital and didn't go? What about the time we were rude or spouted off a hurtful remark in anger? What about the lady at the ballpark with the gang full of kids who are dirty, germy, and snot-nosed? Did you ever stop to help her? What about those used-to-be friends who had a different opinion than you or maybe a different political view? Do we even know who our neighbors are anymore? Do we have any preconceived notions about just who our neighbors are? I know I've done all these things. Our scripture today is going to help us with that. And it talks about what it actually means to be a neighbor. I will be reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which one of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've all heard this story, haven't we?
You're familiar with it.
I'm guilty. I'm pretty sure I've responded to a question when someone asked me, what you been doing? I have said, I've been being a good Samaritan. We know that there was a man in need, and there were religious leaders that truly knew that they should stop and help this stranger. And then there was the good guy, the Samaritan. Now, there are any number of sermon-ready points here in this scripture, and I've heard, I think, almost every one of them. There's the comparison of the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. The Samaritans, you remember, are the undesirables, the deplorables, if you would. They were different than everybody else. And then I've heard the sermons that use the scripture talking about God's law. Different cultures. And about our ticket into eternity. And they are all good and meaningful points and lessons to be learned. Another common theme in this scripture would be that involving social justice. How many times recently has this phrase come up? Love your neighbor in your conversations about wearing a mask, or about Black Lives Matter, or about anything that's been going on since March. I've heard it said many times. We've got to love our neighbor. Jesus has instructed us on how we are called as Christians to take care of those in need, the poor, the hungry, the sick. The Apostle Paul preaches about it throughout his letters. All good things for us to be doing, right? However, if we take a look at the man left on the side of the road, we really don't know much about him, do we? We don't know his social status, his religion, his culture, or even if he's hungry, do we? We do know is that the Samaritan stopped and took care of the stranger who was in need. But I think that even the action of the good guy is not the reason Jesus is telling this story. Maybe it's not about what the Samaritan did for the stranger. Maybe it's more about who the Samaritan is as a person. Maybe it's more about what's in his heart. Jesus knows the lawyer that he's been having this conversation with, and he knows that he knows the law. But yet he asks him, and the lawyer quoted the right scripture when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And I think he probably said it just like that. Kind of rolled off of his tongue. I've quoted this scripture many times, and it does kind of roll off very easily, doesn't it? You don't even have to think about it. As Christians, we know that we're supposed to help those in need. I like to brag on the Methodist Church because the United Methodist Church supports more ministries than any other organization on a global level. Did y'all know that? Everybody say amen. We are experts at feeding, clothing, and taking care of the needy, the oppressed, the hungry, and the homeless. We certainly shine when it comes to taking care of our children and our youth and our elderly. We are educators, and we have become very good stewards for this place that we call home environmentally. And we have a very strong voice when it comes to social injustice. The church is a good neighbor. Amen. It's the next question that's important for us today. Jesus knows that the lawyer is testing him, trying to get one over on him, and Jesus is really wanting to know what was in the heart of this lawyer. And so Jesus asked this question. "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man?" And the lawyer said, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." How many of you guys remember Mr. Rogers? I do. Every show started with Mr. Rogers changing his sweater, and he sang a song about his neighbor. And the last words of the song went something like, "Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?" What Jesus is asking here in this scripture is, who is the neighbor? I don't believe Jesus is actually asking about the neighbor. He is asking who we are, more specifically, who we are in him. He has affirmed that we are to love God with our whole being, heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor. It's not our actions he is concerned with here. It is who we are. It is our way of being. Just like Mr. Rogers asked, "Won't you be my neighbor?" The action word here is being, be. I'm thinking that maybe Jesus wasn't telling this man to do something so much as he was challenging him to see the world around him, especially in people that are possibly different than he is. Perhaps it isn't as much about what we do as it is about how we live. How are we being? And I think he's talking about relationships, because you can't talk about love without talking about relationships. Jesus is asking us about our heart. How are we being? How is our heart? Now, if we want to be able to answer his question, let's take a look at the relationships going on in this parable. Jesus is telling the story to a group of spiritual leaders, those you would probably expect to stop and help someone. The priest and the Levite did not have a relationship with this dying man on the road. They didn't know him. He was certainly beneath them and probably deserved what he got. Who knows? He was probably sick or dead. They couldn't risk being around a sick or dirty or shameful person. And if he was dead, and I don't know if y'all know this, but it was against the law for the Levite to even be around somebody that was dead. They couldn't risk that. They were leaders in the community. They had status and positions and couldn't be seen on that side of town. And besides, they were busy. It was, after all, none of their business. They had other matters to attend to, and they certainly couldn't be seen with this person. Now, the priest and the Levite knew what was expected. He quoted the law to Jesus, and yet they didn't do it. They didn't put love into practice. Now, the Samaritans in this story, they are a whole different story. They were considered the outcast, the deplorables, if you will. They didn't think like everybody else. They didn't act like everybody else. They didn't look like everybody else. They had their own laws and their own religious cultures. It's kind of ironic, don't you think? I love God's sense of humor. The priest and the Levite wouldn't even dare to be seen associating with a Samaritan. And yet, it was the Samaritan that God put in this story. You just never know who God is going to use to make a difference in somebody's life, do you? Maybe it's not all about who we are or how religious we are. Maybe it is about how we live. How are we being? What is in our heart? So what kind of relationship did the Samaritan have with this man on the side of the road? Well, first of all, he was in a really bad location.